I hope you really enjoyed singing that Alleluia, because you won't be hearing it for a couple weeks now as we start Lent on Wednesday. But in the year 1521, about 500 years ago, there's a young man who aspired to be one of the best soldiers that Spain had ever seen. And he was inspired by these tales of heroes and great accomplishments. And he dreamt of the day when his own story would be shared to inspire the next generation. And he received his chance for glory when the town he was stationed at was attacked by the French. And while his fellow soldiers were quick to surrender, this young Spaniard fought on, single-handedly, in fact, and valiantly continued to fight until a cannonball shattered his leg. Admiring the courage of this man, the French allowed him to return home to recover from this now life-changing injury. And as he did so, being bedridden, he was looking for ways to pass the time. And so he requested books to read. And he particularly requested books dealing with the feats of heroes accomplishing great feats, great victories. Unfortunately, at least in his mind, where he was recovering, this place had no such books. Instead, he was given books about Jesus and stories of the saints. And so, having no other options, he was stuck reading those. And so as these days of recovery went on, he would switch off between reading these spiritual books and also daydreaming about becoming this great hero from the legends that he loved. But over time, he began to notice something. When he daydreamed about becoming a great hero, while such thoughts brought him inspiration in the moment that he thought about it, after that moment when those thoughts left him, so too did those feelings of inspiration. And he was in fact left feeling empty and dissatisfied. But whenever he took that time to read about Jesus and the saints, he was not only inspired by those stories as he read them, but these stories remained with him far after he had put the book down, and the inspirations continued. And so, beginning to recognize this difference, the Spaniard realized that relationship with Christ and striving for sainthood brought a fulfillment for him that lasted far longer than striving for worldly glory. Such a revelation led this man, once he recovered from his injury, to rededicate his life to Christ. And he soon became none other than Saint Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, perhaps the most influential religious order in the world. In our gospel, Jesus tells us that every tree is known by its fruit. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, and a rotten tree does not bear good fruit. Now, we can easily apply this passage as a beautiful reflection for ourselves and consider what kind of tree are we in our life. Are we a tree that is bearing good fruit or rotten fruit? But as we prepare for Lent, beginning on Ash Wednesday of this week, it is a good time to consider which trees are we eating from in our life and the fruit that they bear. For as Ignatius found out, knowing this can change the focus of our life. He began to recognize that the fruit he ate from the tree of daydreaming about these heroes turned out to be, in fact, rotten fruit. While it gave him temporary pleasure, after the fruit was consumed, it left him empty and dissatisfied. But when he ate the fruit that came from the tree of stories with Jesus and the saints, that fruit was found to be good. For the pleasure it gave him lasted well beyond the time of reading it. Now, we can have many trees from which we consume from daily in our own life. We can have the tree of the news, sports, social media, TV, reading, politics, faith, church, our work, the tree of our friends and who we spend our time with, the tree of free time. Really, anything we can really consider to be a tree in our life. Like Ignatius, it is a good practice to consider these trees and the fruit that they are providing for us, which can be tricky because, as Ignatius found out, some trees provide fruit which in the present moment taste good, but that goodness does not last, and it leaves us empty. Other fruit may not taste very good in the moment, but afterwards leaves us quite satisfied. I remember growing up that we would often gather together. My mom would have us gather together to pray the family rosary. And as a child, it was like the last thing I wanted to do. I wanted to keep playing around or something. And so in the moment, it was really hard to pray that rosary. But afterwards, there was this fulfillment that not only I felt, but could be felt in the family. We were eating good fruit from a good tree. So as you prepare for Lent in 4 days, I invite you to consider which trees are you going to and what is the fruit they are providing. Perhaps the tree of the news is bearing the rotten fruit of anger, anxiety, and judgment. Maybe during Lent you reduce consuming such fruit. Instead, going to a tree that sometimes may not seem as sweet in the moment, but provides the good fruit of joy, peace, and forgiveness, the good news of the gospel. For as we see with Ignatius, the tree we consume from can change the course and focus of our life. And that is the reason why Jesus is called the tree of life. Because the more we consume of him, especially here at Mass in the Eucharist, the more we go from daydreaming to changing the world and our life around us. This Lent, let us cut down those trees giving rotten fruit and cultivate the trees giving good fruit. Because who knows, after eating of such fruit, there may be some daydreamers turned saints among us.